anything seems like a good idea after you've had a few.
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What's going on? Happy holidays. It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man!
Glad to have you listening, Mike Bell. We had a spectacular weekend. We hope you did as well. It started out with the Mike Conti Palooza on Friday night, which then, of course, went into Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday, which brought us the Falcons. And we said we didn't know what team was going to show up. We really didn't. We didn't know if the Falcons would be able to do some of the things we talked about last week. We said, what do we say? We got to run the ball. Okay, we run the ball. Check. We got to win third down. We won third down. Check. We got turnovers, Mike. Check. Yeah. We got sacks. All the things we had been thinking and hoping for in the last five games, and this is going back to the Browns game, all of a sudden we got yesterday. And, you know, everybody is saying, oh, man, it's a good win. And don't get me wrong, anytime you win, it's good. The feeling in that locker room was good. But, man, where was this? Where was this?
Well, I was talking with Schultz, Jeff Schultz from the AJC on Twitter. I was joking around. I mean, can we play Arizona every week? I mean, it's a really bad football team, and I don't want to be a negative Nelly because I'm like, I go to watch my team win, okay? Everybody wants to sit there, and you want to go through all. We don't even know what the combine looks like yet. So everybody projects where we're going to be and who the player is. We don't even know. And by the way, you know, it's no great shakes when literally the last, what, 7 or 8 years, more than 50% of first-rounders are busters now. So even that's not even that great a stat to go hang your hat on if you're looking for a team to tank, you know? So it was a great game. They made it great and easy because Arizona is just that bad. But it was fun to watch the guys go down the field. Unfortunately, there were 30,000 people who decided not to show.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. And again, you know, last home game of the season, I don't know. We asked Rich McKay this question last week. Well, how do you fix this? How do you get, you know, more fannies and seats? We know people are going to these games and people are interested. Hell, we know that because all the PSLs they sold. But, right. You know, as he said, part of that is the product. And so now we have a chance to get the product better moving forward. But the other side of that is just the fandom of people being interested, Mike, and knowing this is my team, I'm ride or die, and I get that. And you know, sometimes it's hard to get that across to some people. Either way, we found out some things yesterday about our football team that we're going to talk about. And really, guys, I don't know if these decisions that the Falcons are going to make were answered yesterday. I don't know if the Vic Beasley question was answered. Guy hit me up on Twitter, and we invite you to follow us. 929 The Game, that's the radio station. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. He said, Dukes, despite this performance, still not keeping him.
I agree with the guy. I agree with him. I mean, Vic, you know, we got a nice deflection, which certainly Debo was able to capitalize on, and we took to the house. You know, I mean, we made some big plays. We had 7 sacks. Bruce Irvin got in there. You know, Poole, we dialed up blitzes. On the flip side, we had quarterback sneaks. I got to be honest. I was like, were we just doing this because Arizona is so bad? You know, or they just felt so confident?
Mike, where was this?
I mean, well, that's what I was at. I was asking the question on Twitter. I mean, is Josh Rosen so bad right now? And that offensive line so bad? This is the one team we had no fear to just blitz and throw everything at him. I think so.
Well, listen, they are a bad football team. But the things fundamentally that we had talked about for the last few weeks, can we run a quarterback sneak to get a yard? We did in this game. Can we come off the edge and create some sacks? We did in this game. These are things that Mike and I have been talking about for weeks, saying, hey, Coach Quinn, hey, Marquand, why don't you bring some heat off the edge? They apparently were not afraid for whatever reason, and you said it. Maybe it was Josh Rosen. Maybe the fact that, you know what, their wide receivers didn't scare us. I don't know, Mike. At the end of the day, a lot of the things we've been looking for since the Browns game all of a sudden appeared yesterday. We scored 40 points. Here was the thing that really stood out to me, and this is another question. I don't know if it got answered or not. And everybody's asking, what does this mean? It means we finally got off the schneid and we won a game, guys, is all that it means.
Right.
The guys that you're going to keep or the guys you're going to let go, that will be determined after the season. But the fact of the matter is one performance does not make a season. So don't get caught up in Coleman running for 145 yards. That was great, and I'm happy that he did it for our football team. But it's one freaking performance.
Yeah. Again, against a team which is really, really bad. Look, the average 13 yards a tote, only 11 carries, and he obviously broke two big runs, one of them for 65 yards. I mean, it was fun to watch. I mean, it was almost like it had almost a preseason-like vibe to it because of the way the crowd wasn't there in the stadium. And it was a shame because, you know, as a fan, you're seeing other things. You're right. All the things we wanted to see all season long. Look at this. We got a running game. Look at this. We got a pass rush. Look at this. Sark is actually dialing up stuff in short yardage. It makes sense. So how much of that was because of the opposition? You know, hey, look, you want to finish 7-9, we've been eliminated from the playoffs. I understand the people that are obsessed with the draft pick and the lower we go, but you still got two more winnable games against the Bucs and Carolina, certainly.
No doubt. 404-741-0929, that's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We invite you to get a part or be a part of the conversation here on a Monday. It's a Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity, but we're going to talk about it.
It was bittersweet, right?
It really was.
It was a very strange vibe. I mean, walking out of there, you know, people were, I mean, it was like we were going down the stairs. Yeah! I mean, it was like, you know, everyone's like, where was that all season? That was the vibe, basically.
Well, it's just some elements that we had been hoping for, not all, some, that we had been hoping for that kind of played out in this game yesterday. And that's the part that's a little bit confusing. And then somewhat maddening, because if you're a football fan, and you're going to tell me, well, we weren't able to do this against anybody else. You're lying to yourself. You're going to tell me we couldn't run a quarterback sneak against the Cowboys, for heaven's sakes, when we needed it?
Right.
I mean, I could take you back to each and every game and the defining moment in each and every game this season, and there were moments where you went, where was that? We needed it, but we didn't get it. And so for me, I am going to tell you today, even though we won the football game, and I'm happy that our team won the football game, and I'm happy for those guys in that locker room because we've seen them in the last 3 weeks going, man, we're trying to do everything we can. But the evaluation does not get determined by one game. If you're late to work every damn day and your boss goes, you're late again, you're late again, you're late again, and then you show up on time and your boss goes, whoo, you are on time today. Boy, that doesn't define your entire year. Okay, so the first time we're on time, which we were on time yesterday, 40 points, ran the ball well, Mike did all these wonderful things, it doesn't define our year.
No, and I think, I honestly think, Carl, that there are some Falcon fans who want to sit here and maybe kind of misinterpret that information. But I think a lot of guys that we were talking to on social media, guys that are hitting us up today, they get the big picture, to your point. I mean, I don't know what the Pro Football Focus numbers and how they work. You know me, I'm always confused by the metrics. Top defensive grades versus Arizona. Grady Jarrett with a season high. Means gets him. By the way, Means was all over the place.
Grady played great yesterday.
Yeah. Alford a season high. Devondre Campbell, Tack McKinley, all with season highs based on what the PFF nerds say. So, I mean, you just have to consider the competition. This is one of the worst teams in the NFL. So, I mean, just temper the enthusiasm. I'm glad we got some things going the right way. And hopefully, Carl, if we finish 7-9, you got some momentum like Dan Reeves' team had back in 97, which the next season they fed off of it. Everybody to a man on that team talked about how that did matter to them.
Big night tonight in the National Football League simply because of the Monday night football game, Saints and Panthers. And then we have the Panthers next week, next Sunday at their place. After last night with the Rams, God, I hate to say it, Saints could be looking at wrapping up home field throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we've talked about. Guys, I got to be honest. I don't think anybody goes into New Orleans and beats the Saints if that's the case. I just don't.
I'm with you. And their defense is playing. I mean, look, everybody's had some very strange games this season. But New Orleans, I'm curious to see, does Carolina have anything left in the tank? Because they've been in free fall mode, you know, losing coaches, losing games, bad decisions by Cam Newton. It's ripe. Even though they're on the road, and you don't consider New Orleans, you know, an outdoor road team, but very interesting to see what they get done tonight.
Well, and that's the thing, Mike, which gets us back to us. Because I'll be honest, you know, for me, I think Ron Rivera's job's on the line. You've already made some in-season changes, right? You got a new offensive coordinator. And for the, again, first 8 games of the season, things look great. This is a 6-2 team. And then all of a sudden, the wheels come off. If you lose to New Orleans, and then next week you lose to us, would not surprise me going into that last game of the season if Ron Rivera's let go. These kind of decisions are determined. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. And for me, that's why I said I couldn't understand for folks who were saying, Mike, oh, I want to lose out. Dukes and Bell, I want to lose out. That's not a good look if you're the head guy. It's not a good look if you're Thomas Dimitroff, okay? And I don't think anybody on that football team up there at Flowery Branch wants to lose out. So yesterday, you get a W. I'm happy about it. Can you finish the season the way we saw yesterday's performance? And then I think you can. You do have some things to build on, Mike, if you're able to do that against Carolina and Tampa. Obviously, two teams right now that I don't know what the direction is. Tampa's looking for – they're going to be looking for a new coach, right?
Yeah, and is Jameis Winston doing enough to keep himself in the running for that option? That's going to be – that's talk about heavy decisions you're going to lay on a coaching staff. And I presume the general manager, Light, is going to stay there in Tampa. But they've got some decisions to make pronto. I don't know if they've already made them, but you could argue that Jameis has done enough – or has he? You know, they had a run-in with one of his linemen last week. So I'm just curious to see where that goes. By the way, one of the prop bets that I wanted you to get in on it. You didn't take it with me. My buddy to place, Mikey Marinara, put it in for me. Won some extra cash this weekend on the Browns over-under. Had him at 5.5, and I took him over. And they obviously had 6 wins, so that was one. And, again, had they fired that idiot coach early on, they might have had more wins already than that. But very interesting to see if they're going to stay now with their coach. The transition teams work pretty well so far.
Yeah, people will say, you know, the Browns loss, it maybe doesn't look as bad with the way the Browns are playing right now. This was not the Browns team we saw that you just saw yesterday. It was 5 weeks ago. And
they used us as a springboard.
Yes. The Browns team we saw had a new, you know, offensive coordinator in Freddie Kitchens who had never called plays in the NFL. Yeah, he had been a quarterback. I know his history. He never called plays in the NFL. It went out against us, and they ran everything under the sun, and it seemed like everything worked. The Browns now, I think, Mike, are slowly but surely, and I've said this, that's a good job. I don't know who gets it, but that's a good job. Slowly, you know, manifesting into what I think they're going to be over the next few years. And they're going to be a hard out. I think in that division with Pittsburgh, you saw that matchup yesterday with New England. Obviously, the Ravens are in transition with Lamar Jackson. But, yeah, if you pick the Browns to have 6 wins, I didn't think that was a stretch based on the talent.
Well, Greg Williams, they say they're going to interview him for the vacant head coaching position. John Dorsey, if you guys remember from watching Hard Knocks, we talked a lot about that this summer. Pretty cool. And also, we'll go around the NFL with a full blitz at 3 o'clock and such. But the Todd Gurley play last night was kind of strange. If you stayed up to watch the end of the Rams-Eagles, didn't really give them all the chances to get in the end zone.
Thinking too much. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday. Coming up, we've got headlines. We'll get back into some more Falcon conversation. Georgia Southern. Hail Southern. It's all on the way on Dukes and Bell.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday. Coming up, we got Dan Quinn's press conference coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll carry that live for you, let you hear what Coach Quinn had to say about yesterday, caught up on injuries and whatnot. Also, at 4 o'clock, normally, guys, as you guys know, we do the Dan Quinn's coaches show. And sometime in the 4 o'clock hour, we usually do it around 4, but we think it's going to be running a little bit late today. But we'll hear from Coach Quinn with Wes Durham and Dave Archer. And then, of course, the player segment today is going to be Grady Jarrett. Grady yesterday, Mike. Now, you talk about easy decisions, you know, for our Falcon football team. As I tweeted yesterday, pay this man. And somebody said, where's the money coming from? Cap's going up. Relax. But this is also something the Falcons should have been planning for. And I think they have been planning for. I don't think this is going to be as big of a deal as some people might make it out to be. Again, he's not going to get Aaron Donald money. But Grady Jarrett is your most disruptive defensive tackle, and he deserves to be paid.
Right. 6 sacks on the season, and I do think we got to get somebody up there next to him. I know that we like the Deidrin Sinat. I mean, I think as a role player, as backup depth, but I mean, I think you might take a gander at what you got in this first round. I mean, this is unbelievable. That's what we said, the ultimate you want to be a general manager? Good luck, because it's, you know, it's a consternation. You got killer O-linemen, you got killer defensive tackles, potentially in the top 15.
Yeah. So with that said, again, we'll get more into this in the next couple of weeks, but, you know, some guys with some standout performances. The Grady thing doesn't surprise me. We were a different team when Grady was out early in the year. We just were up front, and you saw it. And against a bad Cardinals offensive line, those guys got exposed yesterday because he wasn't the only one. You mentioned the other guys getting in on the 7-sack performance. As far as playoffs, we're going to get more into this in about 30 minutes. NFC right now, Saints first seed. You got the Rams in the 2 seed. They would be the teams that would receive the bye. Of course, this is with 2 weeks to play. And then you have the Vikings, the Bears, who clinched their division. And then the Seahawks and Cowboys. Those are the teams that would be in the NFC. In the AFC, it's Chiefs, Texans, first and second seed. They receive byes.
When was the last time the Patriots went on the road in week one, the first week of the playoffs?
Crazy.
And, I should say home game. They'll have a home game as an East champ, but still.
Well, that's why that game yesterday, Mike, was so big. And we'll talk about it. Steelers, Baltimore, Patriots, Chargers. Those are the teams that are in as of right now. Now, again, some of this stuff could change in the next 2 weeks. You have teams that, you know, have their fate in their own hands, and they need to win out. Mm-hmm. But they also need some other things to happen, especially when you start talking about the fifth and sixth seed, depending. But I'm curious to see how it all plays out. Either way, as we mentioned, for us in the NFC, I just think anybody that thinks somebody's going to go in there and beat the Saints, I don't care. Pick a team. The five that I just mentioned, I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, man, the Eagles, so they're feeling good after beating the Rams. Of course, the Saints humiliated the Eagles pretty good. Foles now back in the same role he was thrown into last year, just a few weeks later. Remember, Foles took over.
He looked good, Mike.
They've got a rhythm going, that's for darn sure. Minnesota, new OC, they dropped 40. Right? If you didn't see it on the hapless Dolphins. So much for the Dolphins feeding off of that win over the Patriots a week ago. And Seattle, just when you think Seattle is up and running and they're going to be the number one wild card, they lose to a 49ers team. Most penalties, I think you got to go back like 30-some-odd years, 148 yards in penalties for Seattle.
How did the Cowboys not score yesterday, by the way? 23-0. 23-0. The Colts beat the Cowboys. They don't score.
Colts been playing some really good defense. You know, we don't really talk much about them, but, you know, ever since they finally about, you know, week five or six, they've been, like, really coming on. They protect Andrew Luck really well, and they get after it. So, interesting. I mean, if you could maybe, you know, give them a couple of mulligans, you know, the Colts would be right in that mix. And right now they need some help.
More on the NFL pitcher and the playoff pitcher coming up in our NFL Blitz right now, though. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins. Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start with Dan Quinn and Coach Quinn talking about what he wanted to show the fans. Were we frustrated? Yes. Did guys play hard yesterday? Yes. There are some things you can, you know, put your finger on and go, I saw the effort yesterday, and Dan Quinn was proud of that.
Tonight, I thought our identity was clearly on display. The turnovers, ball hawking defensively, the ability to run the ball, to me, those felt good, and to do that here at home with our fans to make sure they saw that identity on full display was important.
Yeah, man, it was a fun game to watch. It was real, after a frustrating start, they just cranked it up, and you know, obviously they until they scored that final touchdown, it was 40 unanswered points. Carl, I'll tell you this: going to a home game and watching the home team drop 40 on somebody beats a sharp stick in the eye.
Yeah,
it's just unfortunately, you're just trying to gauge how much of this was you, how much of this was them, and if this is what you really are all about. And playing to your standard, DQ, then where was this earlier in the year?
That's the hard part. And I think, you know, Mike, part of the answer, well, you know where I'd love to be? I would love to be in that meeting at the end of the season with Arthur Blank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Dimitroff, Scott Pioli, assistant general manager, Dan Quinn. Who else is in this meeting? Some higher-ups within the Arthur Blank, hierarchy. Rich McKay, probably. And how do you explain that? Like, okay, explain to me what you thought this season was and how it turned out, and describe to me, in your opinion, Coach, what happened. Because what you're saying, Mike, is exactly right. And I don't know how you describe that except for saying the guys that were subbing in that took the place of our guys that got hurt weren't where they are at the end of the season, and maybe that's the reason.
Yeah, and a very fragile offensive line that you knew was older going into the season. You tried to upgrade with Fusco. You lost two starting guards, and you went through this losing streak where you just couldn't run. You couldn't protect Matt Ryan. And Matt, you know, Matt, yeoman's effort, how many times we've seen him go over 300 yards, as we've talked a lot, without having that run game. So, I mean, it's all in the eyes of Arthur Blank. He's the guy that cuts the checks. I read Schultz's blog, Jeff Schultz, in the Athletic. I said AJC earlier, now he's with the Athletic.
Yeah.
But Schultz, he just couldn't bring himself to call for anybody to lose their jobs other than some assistants. But he thinks both, obviously, as we do, that Quinn and Thomas will be fine. Not the way I would run things, but I don't think anybody is going to get fired other than some assistants.
Do you think Coach Quinn, and again, we won yesterday, but we're having this conversation because we've been eliminated from the playoffs, and it's valid. I mean, don't get us wrong here by saying, didn't we win yesterday? Yes, we won yesterday, and it was great.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. We're trying to be cool about it, but yes, all I got was, great, just lost a draft pick. I'm like, well, let's just wait and see, okay? We don't even know how these guys grade out just yet. You know, and if we are going to draft a defensive player, I certainly trust Dan Quinn's input in that department.
But I was going to ask, Mike, do you think Quinn and Dimitroff are under closer watch now? Or
so
no.
One more year? What does that mean? You have one more year to turn this thing around and get us a Super Bowl? To get us a playoff? I mean, what's the measuring stick for Arthur Blank? What's he going to say? Playoffs are bust next year? You both can't?
I don't know.
I don't know. So I was asking the question to guys around me. Well, the guys that I could talk to that were around me had a lot of empty seats around me up in 342.
Yeah, there were a lot of empty seats, period. What if Arthur Blank, Stukes and Bell, says, you know, our wins this season, and this could even be at the end of the season. You're going to play a bad Tampa team, and maybe Carolina loses tonight. Who knows what their record ends up being? What if Arthur Blank says, well, you only won five times against five losing teams this year?
There you go. That's what happened. Arthur Blank, what happened in this game? You know, let's talk about the crucial games where the season went off the rails. The Bengals game, both Saints games. Both Saints games you were capable of winning. We talk so much defense. To hold the Saints with the way they're playing to 17 points in their building at halftime, that's a win for our defense.
Oh, no doubt.
And our offense completely gacked that game with turnovers. You know, what about the undisciplined play? What about the mental mistakes? What about the coaching mistakes? You know, I mean, it's not just players. Dan Quinn is culpable in this with the strategy. The Cowboys game, that was all bad coaching at the end when it mattered.
Let's hear from Matt Ryan talking about, for example, quarterback sneaks. We've been screaming this all season. Our quarterback's 6'4", maybe 6'4 and a half. Who knows? He reaches the ball out.
Taller than me.
And he gets a yard or two. Matt Ryan talking about trying to use the sneaks in the right situations.
We've done a nice job with that at different points throughout the year of using some tempo, getting those first downs when it's a really short yardage situation or, you know, inside the one down on the goal line. I think Sark has utilized that part of our offense really well.
Ooh. I got my hand up.
You're like horse shacking. Yes. Welcome back, Connor.
Ooh. Because
Mr. Cotter. Mr. Cotter.
I just got reminded of something. Can you let me hear Matt Ryan right there again and stop it after he says tempo, please?
We've done a nice job with that at different points throughout the year of using some tempo.
Stop the tape. Where's that been?
I know.
We went tempo yesterday.
I know.
We're good at tempo.
I know. All this stuff, blitzing, things we want to see. Now, as I said to start the show, is that a byproduct of how bad the rookie Josh Rosen is and how bad their O-line is that we felt comfortable? Even if we don't get there, he's not going to hurt us. I just think when you've got injuries the way we have and you don't have playmakers because of the Debo injury at some point, I think most Falcon fans would say, let's get after it. I would rather, you know, go in and lose by being aggressive than sitting back and rushing three. Okay, for instance, like how a couple of games like the Cowboys, the Bengals games ended. So to your point, that's what fans wanted to see. So it's the ultimate too little too late, and that's why some fans are kind of, you know, they're like, meh. They're, you know, it's a shrug. You know, we blew doors on a bad Arizona team, but we also, as you said, we're eliminated from the playoffs. So it's a very strange vibe to how you break this game down and what it means.
All right, guys. Monday Night Football, we mentioned Saints, Panthers. More on the Falcons. You'll hear more from Deion Jones, Matt Ryan, Grady Jarrett on the way. Meanwhile, how about Georgia Southern, Mike? Listen, we talked about this, and, you know, every year we get into these programs, Georgia State, Georgia Southern. How good they are, how good can they be? And, you know, for Georgia Southern, hail Southern, Mike, this is a great way to end the season, isn't it?
It's a bowl victory in the Camellia Bowl. That's a pinkish flower, I believe, in Montgomery. And if you didn't see it, the kicker, Tyler Bass, hits a 40-yarder as the clock hits 000, and they beat Eastern Michigan 23-21. So good job, man. They had some dramatics late to get into field goal range, and they win the bowl game. So a good night. Nice job for the – some would say the Georgia, you know, the GSU. I don't want to get that argument with our state buddies. But hail Southern. Nice win.
Yeah, I just think the turnaround has been, you know, incredible for what they've done there. And so credit to Coach, credit to the kids there. And it's good to see Georgia programs around the state having success. Obviously, the Dogs getting ready for the Sugar Bowl. We'll talk more about that coming up in the Dog Report a little bit later on.
But if you guys were following, you know, obviously we have got tons of Georgia Southern fans. If you're new to Atlanta, it's an out-of-state borough. And a great job by Chad Lunsford. Remember Tyson Summers, we had him on the show a couple years back. He just was totally outmanned and overwhelmed in that job. You go from a 2-10 season to a 10-3 season, and you win the bowl game. That's about as good as it gets.
That's the turnaround I'm talking about. It's incredible to think that people would have said, oh, they'll be in a bowl game next year. Nobody thought that. So congratulations to Georgia Southern. Hey, Hawks played last night, by the way. Did you bet the over-under on this one? Just asking. 144-127, and they were playing Brooklyn.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't know the Nets had that kind of firepower, man.
Hey, if you did get a chance to watch this, John Collins continues to show us what he is going to evolve into. 29 points for him. Detmon, 24 points. Mm-hmm. Kent Bazemore had 20. Trey had 13, but in a losing cause. And you know what's killing us is, as Lloyd Pierce says, the first quarters of games have really put the Hawks behind the eight ball.
Our first quarters, and I told the guys, have been poor all year. And just the first 6 minutes, we put ourselves in holes, and we try and crawl our way out.
So they didn't crawl their way out of this. And that's fine. You know where we're at on this, guys. I want to be entertained. I want to see our young guys get better. But at the end of the day, I have no issues with the way things are going right now for our Hawks, who are 6-23, 2-14 away from home, Mike Bell.
Yeah, Trae Young, in case you're wondering, 13 points, 4 of 10, only 29 minutes on the floor last night for Coach Pierce. So other guys got in the mix. But, yeah, I mean, just got to see that three develop. Only just took two three-pointers, 1 for 2.
All
but,
right,
yeah, I mean, the good news is, if you really are looking, as you said, if you're watching this team, is the emergence of John Collins. And you put somebody else next to him, you know, we get a power forward, another piece, man, then you got something going there.
I agree. Wizards up next for the Hawks on Tuesday night at home at New State Farm Arena. By the way, John Wall went off against the Lakers, so he's coming in on a hot streak. Hey, we'll come back. We got more to get to, guys. Big Monday program for you. Dan Quinn's presser on the way, and an NFL blitz as well.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
I love the interaction. Social media coming at us, not in a bad way, just saying, hey, I know what yesterday's win meant. As Sarah says, it meant that it was an audition tape for a few guys that want to keep their jobs next year. We've been saying this even through this losing streak. It is Dukes and Bell that for the last 5 or 6 weeks, it's not about laying down and just, I'm not going to get hurt. I don't want to play hard. Whether you're a Falcon next year or not, most of these guys want to be in the league. They want to check. And so we've said this all along, and I do agree with it. That was part of it. But I also think, you know, Mike, the bigger part of yesterday's win for Coach Quinn was, how are these guys responding? You know, I said this about, I don't know, probably after the Saints loss. And I said, I need to see moving forward max effort, right? We need to see this team respond. And I think they did yesterday. But we cannot discount, guys, what Mike has been saying all afternoon for the last 44 minutes. We played a bad football team yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I got guys, I got the snarkiness already coming out because I tweeted out saying, look, it's a strange vibe with some Falcon fans. As we said, you know, dropping 40, it beats a sharp stick in the eye, but it coincides with playoff elimination. The blitzing, up-tempo offense, you mentioned, quarterback sneaks. Is that because cards are so bad? I mean, where's that all been all season long? So, yes, it is a meaningless win, but there are also people who enjoy watching the home team win even when the season is lost. See, not everybody is miserable. People are not everyone is as snarky as the interweb. Some people took their kids for the first time all season, saw their team do everything you want to see your team do.
You are.
You know what I mean?
And that's what made me feel good yesterday. That's what made you feel good.
Right.
I get it. Oh, well, we ain't in the playoffs. Well, okay, I get it. I understand that. But there were some things that made me feel really good yesterday. And you know what? It beats drinking myself to death after these L's versus a W yesterday, and you know what? Wanting to feel good about some things, Mike. So, yeah, I'm with you. We are part of that crew. There's another crew in this city that goes, well. We're going to point out the bad things, but come on.
I mean, as I said, I mean, I went to the last game I'm going to be at Mercedes-Benz this year with the Falcons. They smoked a bad football team. They did. You could argue what they should do, even though we're only one game better going into that one. But as I said, there was a kid. He was at his first Falcons game sitting next to me. It was exactly the scenario you and I had talked about. He said, if you hadn't been to a game all year, and I believe the kid's name was Mark, and he's from South Georgia, him and his dad, they came up, they stayed with their grandparents, and they went to it was his first Falcons game. All right, the rest of the season is, we get it, it's in the crapper, and it was a half-empty stadium. But for that young man, he got to see Julio make some ridiculous plays. He got to see some cool stuff on defense. I mean, shoot, if that's your first Falcon game, you might think we're the Steel Curtain, Carl. We had 7 sacks yesterday. Now, again, I was pointing out to the young man, not to deflate the air out of his balloon, but, you know, Josh Rosen was holding out of the ball long enough for Vic Beasley to get after him.
But that's how you grow, right?
Everybody is miserable, people. Not everybody is snarky. Some people go with the hope of seeing their team win. So, yes, I applaud your big picture that now, yes, we may have sacrificed, who knows, a wonderful position in the draft. No way of knowing right now, so I think you should slow your roll. Back to you.
Yeah, we're going to have a top 10 pick more than likely. It looks that way. If we went out, okay, so be it. I'm going to worry about that after we get through with the season. I've been saying that. I got too much on my plate right now. I'm sorry. I got the holidays. I got a new year approaching. I got parties and friends and people to see. I'll worry about that in January, all right, when the time comes. Here's the thing, though, about the Cardinals, and Bo Morgan's producing the show today, Craig behind the glass. Bo said, what if we lost yesterday's game? You know, this is a team that beat the Packers, okay? One of their 3 wins came against the Packers. The other one was against the 49ers, and they also beat, well, the 49ers. Okay, so, but what if you lose that game yesterday? So here's the deal. You damn if you do, you damn if you don't, is what I'm getting to if you're Coach Quinn. Want to see max effort. Want to see guys respond. They did that. We did a lot of positive things yesterday. But if we lose that game, I'm pulling my hair out today because this is a terrible squad that we played yesterday. And then I think that reflects Mike even worse if we would have lost. So take the W, smile, all right? Let's feel good about some of these guys that we hadn't had a chance to really talk about. Mm-hmm. Guys, Vic Beasley showed up yesterday in a major way. Now, again, where was that? I don't know.
I mean, look, as a fan, I have perspective on it, too. I mean, we're also hosting a Sports Talk radio show. I mean, we're not sitting here going to throw away pom-poms. If Vic can give me that effort all season long, then we wouldn't be talking about not picking up his option for the fifth year, which they don't have to, by the way. It's a team option. The only way they'd have to pay him is if he got injured the next two games. So I know that everyone says, oh, you know, we have to. If they don't, they can cut him in the spring. I mean, they just won't pick up that option, basically.
Clark. And they can re-up as well, I mean, for a lesser amount. But I don't know if you're representing Vic Beasley, you're going to do that. I certainly wouldn't do that, being the eighth overall pick and saying, look what I've done for your football team. We may not feel that way, but I'm just saying, those are the things that the Falcons are going to have to figure out. But I will tell you guys right now, I'm not paying him $12.8 million. Just not. Not moving. I can't do it, Mike, knowing that my team needs some other things right. Moving forward. 404-741-0929 is the number. I know a lot of guys are chiming in on that, and I appreciate you guys getting at us. Some people saying, listen, you know, we get fooled sometimes by when we watch our team and then they do this, right, and it makes you feel all fuzzy. But what is the real Falcons this year? That was not the real Falcons yesterday. That was a Falcon team dominating a lesser opponent, which, Mike, we said, we're better. We should win the game if we handle our business, right. And we did. But that's not the team. If you we're somewhere between that and the Browns' loss, right?
Well, again, if we can get Andy Dalton and Drew Brees and anybody else who beat us, Baker Mayfield, to hold the football as long as Josh Rosen, then we will have 7 sacks every game against that offensive. I mean, that's the other side of the you know, flip the coin. Other side of the equation, Carl, is that's a bad offensive line. It's a bad quarterback who's still learning his way in the league right now.
Couple of things we did well, guys. We ran the ball, don't run off the road, for 215 yards on 27 carries. 27 carries. Now, when the game started and everybody was ripping and roaring about Coleman breaking off these runs, I'm going, well, this is what we should be doing. They're the worst team in the league. We told you guys last week they were giving up 140 on the ground. This was no surprise to me.
I read some of the stuff. Now, again, go take it back to who you're playing against. But, Squid, you saw the comment. I apologize if it was Matt who said it, or they added a new wrinkle to one of those runs and where Coleman's position. So where the hell was that all season?
Where's that been?
With no Devontae Freeman, I'm excited it worked. But, I mean, all the stuff we're throwing up on the wall to see if it sticks, I think the time for that would have been week 5.
Guys, do you follow us here? I mean, I'm trying to be what we need to be today from a standpoint of I'm happy the Falcons won. But understand this. If you are in a relationship, Craig, or you're married, Bo, and you start doing things now that your wife or your girlfriend has been asking for months or years, and then it goes to hell and she goes, Where's that been? It's just that it just makes you scratch your head and wonder. That's all we're saying as fans today. Where's that been?
Right.
You act like we couldn't have done some of these things against other teams, and you just, you know, you go, well, there's no way we could have done this against the Cowboys. Where was that? Where was this against the Ravens? Where was this against the lackluster effort that we saw against the Green Bay Packers? I mean, that's the thing, Mike.
They limited Lamar Jackson into there were so many things he was only going to be doing in that offense. And we just, you know, obviously we couldn't get it done. They ran the fake punt on us in that one. I mean, there's a litany. So, again, I don't believe that Arthur Blank, Carl, is going to be prisoner of the moment that we smoked the Cardinals. I would imagine that Arthur, like us, has an elephant's memory when it comes to the things that did not work this season. Like, no one of note, when I said that the other day, guys, what does that mean? Yeah, there may be a coordinator who gets popped. I don't know. Everyone seems to think that Sark is going to be the sacrificial lamb on this one. I don't even know if that's the right idea, because that means Matt's going to have to work with another offensive coordinator next year and all that entails.
Yeah, listen, I wish I had all the answers. And maybe I will after the holidays. Today, I don't. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're talking about the Falcons with you. And again, want to hear from you guys. I mean, some of you guys, ladies, are like, well, what? As I said today, what does this mean? Does this give you the positivity you need heading into the last two games of the season? Does it give you what you need heading into the end of the season? What if we blow doors these last two games against Carolina and the Bucks? You're going to scratch your head even more. We got an NFL blitz coming up. Speaking of scratching your heads, Cowboys don't score. Vikings score 40. Browns still have a shot for the playoffs.
And Mikey makes money on the over-under. Go Cleveland.
NFL Blitz is next.